It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
You've seen it. If you really know your wife, if you really know your husband, there was one that said, how well do you know your husband? What's his handicap? So I sent it to my wife, and her answer was 4. Wow. That's what I said.
Jeremy White.
But here's the thing. I ended up with a win either way. She guessed I'm a 4. I am not a 4. But she said, I Googled what's a good golfer's handicap, which means she thinks I'm a good golfer. So I'll take that win.
And Joe DiBiase.
But now she knows that she's wrong.
Well, she doesn't have
from
the right.
From her Google search standard, you now have to tell her that I am actually indeed not a good golfer.
I'm not a 4.
She knew what the range of numbers is in the first place, like what it means. Like, she would know a low number is better than a high number for this.
That's a good question. She just Googled, what's a good golfer's handicap? And then
she said, that's got to be the number.
4.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Fortunately for Jeremy, he has a trophy now from golf. He doesn't need the handicap.
Not just Jeremy.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jeremy's out today. Insert another golfer with hardware.
The seat of winners right here.
Maybe I should sit there. Maybe you should sit there.
It doesn't rub off.
I'm out of tournaments. I'm out of tournaments this year anyway.
It doesn't rub off.
I got nothing left. Nothing left to go win. Nate Geary's in for Jeremy today. We got a little Gabe Davis fest maybe because he's in town, we think, today visiting with the Bills. We got a lot to get to. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off. Hard Knocks last night. Do we have to start, though, with – I think Owen is ready to go off on something Nate brought up before we got in here that is a food-related question about ordering the same thing over and over in, like, days in a row?
Yeah, it's like...
So what is this now? You have ordered the same meal 4 days in a row for lunch at the same the same place?
Yeah, not only the same place, but like the same location. It's a chain, but
same location.
The same location.
And you're just gone every day to get the... And like a minute before we go on there, it's like, I might do it again today.
It's not really at this point a might thing. It's just...
You're going to do it again today.
Yeah.
Owen, have you ever done this? Even 2 days in a row? Like,
definitely.
The thing I had yesterday was so good. I'm going to do the exact same thing.
And then you just find yourself in a cycle of...
You're fixated and then it's over. And you can't even...
There's nothing you can do about it. You're a drug addict at that point. It's over for you. Yeah.
You said that and you couldn't hear me, but I think I might have shook the walls in here with...
We tested how soundproof that room really was.
Really. I mean, my arms were in the air. I was celebrating like I had just, I don't even know. It was incredible. Those sandwiches rock.
Yeah.
And it's unavoidable. And I fight with people all the time about
steak
it.
Sandwiches?
Steak sandwiches.
Four days. This is going to be 4 days in a row. You're already at
today
4 days
Today will be five.
Today will be five.
Yeah.
Just make it a week, Nate.
5 days in a row. That can't possibly be good for you.
Oh, it's
no. It's better than getting a cheeseburger 5 straight days.
This is almost that.
Kinda.
Is it? As long as you're not getting fries, maybe it's close.
Yeah, maybe.
I haven't gotten the cookies every day.
Okay. Well, not every day. How many of the 4 days then have you gotten? Three?
Half
of them.
Yeah, right down the middle.
See,
that's perfect.
This is becoming almost like a modern version of the Super Size Me challenge where he's just like, I just want to see what happens.
Should we do a calorie
count? Just want to see what happens. If I just eat steak subs every day for a month, what happens?
Should we do a calorie count?
I mean, hey, you said it's better than eating a cheeseburger.
Yeah, but we could. I do get a giant, and I eat the giant every time.
You can't not get the giant.
Owen's like bulldog. I had this conversation. Him splitting up a sub that gets cut into fours for multiple days, you can't do that with a hot steak sub, frankly.
Oh, he will.
Really?
Can I ask how does he do it? Does he eat it cold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
okay.
You guys, I know you guys have known my dad a long time.
Yeah.
He's my dad. He is a freak.
That's like, I get it if you have an Italian sub with a bunch of cold Italian meats.
Josh, make sure you clip that.
But like, you can't, like when there's oil on a sub, you can't.
Oh.
Have it for multiple days.
The
integrity of this.
This is not just subs. This is anything
edible. I don't even eat leftovers.
all he eats is leftovers.
When I that's not totally true. Like leftovers that I'm like designed to like feed me for a couple of days, like meal prepping.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily consider that leftovers, but it's kind of leftovers. When I'm out at restaurants and I don't finish my meal, I do ask for a box because it feels impolite to leave food.
If you
I don't eat it.
You know what? This is a good point that I actually thought about recently is I don't want to take these leftovers home. I'm not going to eat this.
There's an obligation.
But there's enough left on my plate where if I say no to the box, then I feel like I am insulting the restaurant.
The chef's going to come out and spit on
you. Hey, this was so gross. Not only am I only eating half of it, I don't even want to take it home.
Right. I can't even
That's how bad it was.
Give you the satisfaction of I'll take this home and throw it out there.
But I'm not even saying it was bad. I just might not want it the next day. Like there are certain things I don't like as leftovers. I don't like anything like I don't like pasta. Like sauce or like penne the next day. Like no, I don't
really want a steak the next day. Unless I've got grand plans, unless there's enough that I could be like, okay, I'm going to make steak and eggs.
Yep.
But then that has to be a Sunday. There has to be, it's a very specific scenario that has to play out for me to use leftover beef.
100%.
It's got to be Saturday night. I got to have no plans the next day. I got to have eggs already. Like right away, that is
a chore.
That's 2 weekends of the year that's happening.
Yeah. I think air fryers have changed the game with this, though.
I was just going to say that.
Like you used to take home chicken wings, and you're like, how am I going to heat these up? Then you throw them in an air fryer, and it's like they're brand new.
Definitely do not bring home
with your leftover steak sub, I think I would be throwing that in the air fryer.
Can I just, 100%. Let me just say something? There's definitely no leftover of that sub, just so we're clear. The Giant's getting taken down.
And the Giant, it is, in fact, Giant. It's a big sub.
Do you want the calorie? I got the calorie
count. Let's
send it. Gosh.
This says, on average,
oh, this is gonna be
1,189 calories.
Oh,
That's not as bad as I thought it was
going to
be.
Right, because I'm going to eat breakfast this morning, and then I don't really eat for the rest of the day, and then I eat dinner.
Okay. You're still eating 3 meals a day, though. Are you eating like a true breakfast? You're eating like something little.
Yeah, I mean, today
anything usually before like 11 a.m.
I'm kind of eating a true breakfast today because I woke up and I was hangry.
I thought he was about to give us something in the 2000s.
I was ready for a 2500 bomb.
Yeah. Vindicated.
You're gonna die tomorrow.
I feel vindicated. I'm probably gonna get it for a couple more days.
I might go get it today now.
Like when I discovered how many calories are in a like a bloomin' onion for the first time.
Yeah,
and it's like 3,000.
What?
It's like the most unhealthy thing you could ever order anywhere. Yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. So I guess it's not that high. So
I'm feeling good. I've actually never felt better.
Well, Nate's gonna be living off the high of another steak sub on the way later today for the entire
show. It's getting
today.
Me through. Yeah,
that, you got no idea the power that wields, guys.
They may never know.
It's up to them.
I feel like you got to have the kind of ADHD where like you do things on repeat. Like if I like a new album, I'll just listen to that new album for 4 months.
Okay,
nonstop.
Yep,
4 months. Sure.
Sometimes more.
Okay. This is all crazy.
Like when Bulldog introduced me to the war on drugs, that was a 9-month.
Yeah.
It's all I listened to.
100%.
So.
Yeah. We got Quad Box for this for this conversation, by the way. So good. Welcome into the morning with the Quad Box and also the bullpen going off about this. Wanting to revoke my Italian card because I don't like leftover pasta. Excuse me, that means I have a high standard for pasta and sauce, which makes me even more Italian.
Yeah, that seems...
Yeah, I don't know a true Italian that would bring home leftovers and then microwave it.
Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure that is sacrilegious. Ugh.
See, that would be another thing I'd want to try to throw in the air fryer, but how am I going to put pasta in the air fryer?
You're not going to put pasta in the air fryer.
It would, like, bake it. It'd almost become like a...
But that could be good. It would be true. Such
you're
a mess
not,
after.
You're just
not
going to do that.
Yeah, just that
they
would
make
be
those. They make those little like paper boats that you can put in them.
Yeah,
like, there's like air fryer liners.
All you got to do is that. The bulldog move is zap it in the microwave for 8.5 minutes and just.
On like medium. On like medium heat.
No, just as hot. He was. I should wear a video camera on me one day.
We should document some of this.
Bring you guys around.
This psycho behavior.
I think we need a new recurring segment on the show, which is Owen tells us things about Bulldog we didn't know already.
Yeah.
I think this is a great potential.
It has a lot of potential.
Yeah. So to the Bills, did we watch Hard Knocks last night? So episode 3.
Yeah.
Did you agree with everybody that
it was the best one?
That it was the best one? Because I saw a lot of that on social media after that. Hey, this was the best one. This was the best. It was they told a story throughout it. You got a scene in Brandon Bean's office.
Yeah.
While they didn't give a lot in that, it was the first time like, oh, we're going into Bean's office. Because I know they don't have cameras in McDermott's office, so they're not going to do that. And you got a little bit of reaction there to the Cook thing. So maybe a little bit more happened in
this
third
episode.
Yeah,
there's been way less Bean than there was Shane.
Oh, well, the Shane thing was an off-season Hard Knocks. So I think that was
true.
That was on purpose, I think. Like, the whole thing was about building the team for the Giants. This is the training camp one. So I guess that does make sense. So the Cook scenes of him signing and coming in and the Joe Brady and Bean talking about, like, oh, did he smile? Like, No. Like, do you think he comes off as the good, not the good guy. I just wonder how he comes off the Bills fans after all of this. Because I think he's a different type of character. Like,
yes.
He is not in your face. He's kind of, what's the joke about Matt Milano? That Matt Milano's never said a word before, although we did hear him talk in the Hard Knocks yesterday. I feel like that's kind of Cook, in a way. He's kind of mellow, right? He's kind of, you know, he's not really in your face. He's not really that, you know, a loud talker. He doesn't show a lot of emotion. But when he's on the field, you start to see that, I think, a little bit more. So I thought Cook came off pretty good in the whole thing. I thought they didn't really spend as much time on it as I thought they would. And then they get to Chicago, which is just a beatdown. A beat 38-0 beatdown that was in the episode. After Sunday's preseason game, we haven't spoken since then. You were on with Chopin. We were on with Bulldog, though. Did you consider that a big deal? That they got smoked like that on Sunday?
No, I guess not really the outcome. Probably the overall outcome.
No? But like individual things?
Piled on to what I think it was Derek and Zach talking about this in pregame when I was coming in to do halftime and postgame. And it was essentially along the lines of, I just want to see Cole Bishop make a play, like a pass breakup. A tackle for loss, something that could just say, okay, we're good. Mm-hmm. And since the coaches fanned the flames of it.
That's what happened yesterday. And I thought it was interesting to hear McDermott say what he said about the safety position and not really give anything to Cole Bishop. I mean, saying yesterday that we are looking for the guy to play next to Taylor Rapp.
The problem is they acted all offseason as if they were giving him this job.
Mm-hmm.
So by reneging a little, which is kind of what they're doing,
I think it
brings a larger question to the forefront, which was, why didn't you do more to insulate that room in the offseason?
Right. Well, again, that would go as a criticism on Bean, I think, because at the moment, the coach doesn't. But, like, if the plan was,
you know what? Let me
Bishop,
tell you this:
second round pick.
I don't think it's on Bean, because he cares about safeties. He was a safety.
McDermott was.
If he felt he needed a safety, there'd be a safety in that room.
Mm-hmm.
But they brought back DeMar Hamlin, who everybody universally agreed they needed to upgrade from. They agreed they needed to upgrade from, and then they brought in Derek Forrest, who's, I mean, an afterthought's not a strong enough word for what he's been.
No,
I mean,
I don't even know if he makes the team.
Make the team. He's not going to make the practice squad. I don't even know what number he is. I went to practice multiple times. You were at practice. Do you know what number he is?
I can't tell you for sure
now
what his number is.
I think a little of it says, have I even seen him on the field in the fourth quarter of games? I don't think I have. Is he hurt? Don't know. So the guy that was like, oh, he's interesting. He started a couple games in Washington. Maybe he'll be a core special teamer and push DeMar Hamlin. Nonsense. I mean, just completely irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So now I'm sitting here saying, I was like, okay, well, maybe it's on Bean. Maybe he's got the roster construction. But you know what? If Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage thought, man, we just don't know what we have with him yet. We better just make sure we have someone like Justin Simmons. Maybe not Justin Simmons, but someone like him here in case of break glass, in case of emergency. And oh, by the way, our other starting safety, that is definitely the starting safety, misses multiple games a year because he flies around like a jackknife on the field. I mean, they're to look at it now, it's sort of like on August 20th hosting Gabe Davis and trying to tell us that the wide receiver room's completely fine. So to me, safety and wide receiver probably should get talked about more together as positions that I'm just – if the first two moves this head coach made when he became a first-time head coach was to secure the safety positions, don't tell me this is a Brandon Bean thing, because if he really thought he needed one, he'd have one.
Maybe. He might. I do wonder about that, because – does the dynamic between them, and I'm sure it's collaborative, and they both would have trusted Bishop in that. Bishop, though, is like Bean's drafting, right? And that's a second round pick, and it would be another defensive back where the coach would get in the weeds with them and like, let me get under the hood and see what I got here. And this would be Kyrie Elam would be the first instance of this. And it's just, ooh, I don't know if I can trust this. And this might be different because it's more injury, right? It's him getting reps and getting experience on the field and that position, maybe in this defense, taking a little bit longer to get accustomed to. So there's that difference too. But it would be two players that I'm not putting on the field if I can't trust them. And you drafted them.
Yeah.
And you drafted them high. And I got to put, you know, maybe the fifth round rookie in there. I mean, Jordan Hancock is injured, but his name has been mentioned the last couple of days as a name that maybe could throw his hat in the ring at some point. Maybe if it's not right at the beginning of the year, it's in the middle of the year, or maybe it is the beginning of the year. And what would that be? Like, I got to go to a fifth-round rookie because
it feels
I don't have options at this position right now.
A little of it feels like Benford all over again. You kind of getting bailed out by a late draft pick. Listen, I would be ecstatic if Jordan Hancock ends up being a starting caliber level safety in the league.
I will say, though, doesn't in the fans' minds and most people's that the late round pick coming in and starting and becoming a good player, doesn't the coach get more credit for that? Like, if the first round pick comes right in and he's awesome right away, the GM's getting credit for that 100% of the time because you nailed the pick. But, like, Benford. Who gets credit for Benford? Because on the Bean front, it's, well, you drafted a six-round pick out of Villanova.
Benford was better than Elam right away.
He was, but does McDermott get credit for that?
I don't think so.
He developed a six-round pick into this. You know what I mean?
I still think Bean gets credit for finding the player.
Okay. I'm not sure it matters either one way or the other. Because they're sitting here without a player that's worthy of a starting safety spot.
It should be harder to find a guy in the fifth round than the first round. Just so we're clear.
It should be. I think the other difference between wide receiver and safety right now for that, you mentioned Gabe Davis is in, and Jerry Dulac from Pittsburgh reporting on Davis being visiting there says that he thinks Davis is visiting with the Bills today. So he might be in town right now, honestly. Yeah. The difference to me is right now the concern on those two positions, safety, it is who's on the field all the time.
Yeah.
Is the question. And that's important. That's a starter. That is a guy that is important to the structure of the defense that you just don't even know who that guy is at all. Wide receiver, at the moment, I do think it's probably more to do with what is going on after the top three guys.
Agreed.
Because the top three guys in Shakir, Coleman, and Palmer, that's entrenched. And I don't think there's anything, there's no negative feelings about any of those three right now, other than just Shakir is dealing with the injury, right?
Yep.
But it's, oh man, Samuel can't get on the field. And Elijah Moore is dropping passes in the preseason. And do we really trust Tyrell Shavers to be on the active roster? And like, I think that's interesting. And I think you'd want to have guys you can count on as the 4, 5, and 6 in a receiver core because those guys play. Those guys play some, but it is 4, 5, and 6 for that position. It's the number one safety
Yeah.
that they're trying to figure out. I'm reminded also of a time 2 years ago after Tremaine Edmonds left, and the middle linebacker battle in training camp was not going well at all.
No, it wasn't.
It was going very poorly, and I actually looked up, there was a McDermott quote from that training camp that was very similar. It was about Bernard and about the whole position. Very similar to what we heard yesterday, where he called middle linebacker near the end of training camp. Bernard, kind of like Bishop, remember he had missed all camp.
All the camp because the hamstring.
He had a hamstring injury, missed all camp, didn't play in the preseason. And McDermott, nearing the end of camp, said about middle linebacker, quote, "That's an area of concern right now. Are we where we need to be right now? I don't think so." He said that 2 years ago. And what did they do? Without any of the reps, they just decided, we're just going to throw Bernard in there.
And he was fantastic.
Second-year guy, hadn't played a lot in year one, was dealing with an injury. Like, you know, we could put a vet in like Tyrell Dodson and see if we could get by. Let's put the kid in. And they did. And I want to predict they just end up doing the same thing with Cole Bishop. That I don't know if it'll go well. I don't know how good he'll be. I mean, if he could be as good as what he does, as what Terrell Bernard is at middle linebacker, that's a home run. But I want to think that any of this messaging is like that's a sign, that's a message to Cole Bishop. Like, hey, dude, get your act together because we need you to play, and I think it ends up resulting in him playing one way or another. To see what they got, especially when there isn't a strong alternative. I think Bishop plays.
Definitely not a strong alternative, but I don't like the idea. They don't.
Unless they want to go get an alternative.
At this point in the game, I just think it's.
It's just Simmons, right?
That's it.
Justin Simmons, who
Marcus
played
Williams
last year in
is
Atlanta.
Available, but he's coming off of an Achilles.
Yeah, Jordan Whitehead is out there and visiting with teams.
Yeah.
He's a guy who, is he the guy who picked Allen three times?
I believe so.
In the Jet game, or two times a couple years ago? So there are guys, but nobody that is,
I think there's a real chance they make a trade between now and the start of the season for somebody. It probably isn't going to be a big name, but somebody that they like that's on another roster that's a third safety somewhere else.
Or replace Derek Forrest as a concept?
Sure. God.
Unless they really like the rookie. Unless they really like Jordan Hancock.
They could like Jordan Hancock. I think you could feel good if you... Listen, I wonder this. I was really interested when the first unofficial depth chart came out before the first preseason game, and Cam Lewis was listed as a safety, and Jordan Hancock was listed as a nickelback. Until that's changed. Until Jordan Hancock's listed as safety, I'm not going to really give that a lot of credence, that he's actually going to get a look there.
Well, he's talked about a transition. And that would imply that he's doing more at practice at safety.
If they're serious about it, I'll believe it when he's listed as a safety on the depth chart.
Well, I think that's probably coming. He did play way more at nickelback in college. So
yes.
Him playing safety would be fairly new to him, but I think you'll see that. I think you'll see him get listed there. 803-0550 is the phone number. What's your concern level at safety? What's your concern level at wide receiver? I got a Gabe Davis question to get to because I don't know if people know this about Gabe Davis, but he is he's the king of content in that he, not just for us, but like I had a group chat yesterday that the second it became known that Davis was going to visit today with the Bills, that group chat devolved into like just back and forth screaming match about Gabe Davis's career with the Bills. Very polarizing player to look back on, and now he might be back. He is reportedly visiting with the team today. How would it fit? It's not impossible for me to see how it would fit. It's just a little bit tricky. So get to some of that on Davis when we come back. Got Sal coming up at 7. We'll talk about practice yesterday, injury updates, Davis as well. Got TJ Reeves coming up at 8:30. We'll talk a little bit about the Bucks. 14 teams in 14 days continues with Tampa tomorrow. And we will take your calls. Leftovers, too, if you want to get
leftovers.
It on leftovers.
No,
and,
sir.
And steak subs and eating the same thing day after day after day. How long is that streak going to go, you think? Is today going to be the last day? No end in sight?
Listen, I'd hate to put a cap on something that's so special to me. You know,
it's ridiculous.
And now that I've got a fan in this that I've got to support. Like, he's like my sponsor now. He's like my steak sub sponsor. I'm going to call him later. Is this a good idea? And I was going to be like, yup, yes, it is.
I misjudged him. I thought when he was freaking out before the show about it, he thought that you were an animal.
No, I could tell right away. We locked eyes. I was like, this guy's a connoisseur. Yeah.
He's into it. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off for the rest of the week. Nate's in, and this is WGR.